just a little background behind me. Kind of grew up in the church. My parents went to the little congregational church in Vizy, but they had religion and not relation. So it was just kind of a different situation where I'd go to church pretty much every Sunday growing up, but there was never anything for growth. It wasn't until 1985 I got really sick and ended up in the hospital for about 14 days and was just there was just a pastor that was walking through, asked me, I was in a private room, asked me if he could come in and talk for a while, did, and that's when my real journey with Christ began. So it's certainly been a blessing, and I hope the words that God gave me to speak to everybody here today just really touch lives. Starting this morning, my message is kind of on faith, and this idea started back during VBS when I was having a conversation with brothers out in the parking lot about it, and Christ speaking about having faith to move mountains in Matthew. I'm going to get started in Genesis 22. And, of course, this is a story of Abraham and Isaac. And it's just, to me, it's an incredible test of faith. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship him, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. He said, Here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire, the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built the altar, placed the wood on the altar, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand with the knife, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay a hand on your lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. And, you know, I read that and it just touched me so much. I can't imagine being a dad and taking my child, even at the word of God, knowing that He's going to provide that offering. Abraham at that point had no idea what that offering was going to be, whether it was going to be his son Isaac or whether it was going to be something else that was going to be appointed. It's not only the faith of Abraham that touched me in this, but it's really the faith of Isaac. Isaac at this point wasn't a babe. He wasn't even a young child. He was a grown man at this point. He was carrying the wood for this. This is a young man who could have easily overpowered his dad, being concerned for his own life, being concerned for his own well-being. Doesn't mention anything of a struggle, even from Isaac. I mean, to me, that the amount of faith that would take, not only in your father here on earth, but your father in heaven. To me, it was just, I wish I had, you know, that amount of faith is just so huge. even to know that even at that very last moment that God would provide the offering that was required. I think about my daily walk, get up in the morning, pray, I spend time with God. Then I go out and I jump in my car, put the key in the ignition, and I really hope it starts every day. This really made me focus on some of the little things every day that I put faith in. I have faith that my car is going to start. I have faith that when I turn the shower on, it's not going to be cold water. I have faith that when I get to work, it's still going to be there. You know, one of the things going through Scripture and growing in my walk with Christ, the more I've put my faith in Him, I found all of these little earthly things, even though they're important, they don't have anywhere near the same amount of meaning that they did when I was younger in my walk. Getting up and going to that job every day, having that provision was something I put a lot of faith in. You know, hey, I know this is going to be here. I know it's going to be here every day. Now, if it is, great. If it isn't, I know because of the increase in my faith that God will provide whatever it is that I need. And it's just, it's been such a blessing to go through this. It was funny because the other night I thought I had everything done and everything written out, and I was sitting at the table going through this and didn't really know where to turn. So got my Bible out, opened it, and it opened right to Hebrews 11. We could go there next. That would be great. And Hebrews 11 steps through pretty much everything that I wanted to talk about in this lesson. And knowing that, it was just, it kind of gave me confirmation that this is what God wanted me to speak about this morning. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders we obtain good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Just having that, even just that assurance was just so huge. It was really powerful. So I thought I'd go back and see what the worldly definition of faith was. So went to Merriam-Webster. And their definition of faith was broken down into three different sections. Allegiance to a duty or a person, fidelity to one's promise, and sincerity of intentions. And I really thought about that, and it's like, that is so hollow. I had a real struggle to find where faith ties into those three statements. So I looked for the definition of biblical faith. And to have faith, to be sure of the things that we hope for, to be certain of things that we can't see, which to me was just, it was really kind of eye-opening, right? Because a lot of the things that God does with us and through us are not seen, they're felt. All the stuff that they talk about in the world, we talked about it last night, how topsy-turvy the world is. They have no faith to base anything on. They don't have anything of substance. Without that relationship with God, it's just so fake. It's just not there. They're putting faith in things that tomorrow will contradict what they talked about today. And it's kind of painful to watch as a Christian, knowing that my faith drives me and directs me in a path to do the right thing every day, to try to be that really good friend to people who need that really good friend, to provide that light in a community that's so dark. Even with my own family, as I mentioned before, my family grew up with religion. They didn't grow up with relationship. And this past spring, when my dad was dying, when I got to the house the first night when Dad knew he wasn't going to get out of that hospital bed, the first thing my mom asked me when I got there was if I'd pray for her and my dad. Was really difficult because I know for a fact she didn't ask any of my brothers or my sister. And I have all confidence that that was her faith in me and the relationship that I have with my Father, with my Heavenly Father, not my Father here on earth, that she knew that I would do the right thing in that circumstance. And it was really powerful to me. Please. Family every day. When I run, I used to plug the headphones in and just go. Now when I run, that gives me, I don't do that anymore. It gives me a half an hour to an hour of uninterrupted time to do nothing but pray. Pray over my family, pray over my church family, everything that matters to me. I use that time to do just that. One of the coolest things to go back with that is after my dad passed away, I wanted to stop in and just check on my mom. So I swung in a day and listened to K-Love in my car. Step into the house, the same song is playing that I was just listening to. No idea how my mother found K-Love on the radio. To me, that was a prayer answer. That was just so cool. But anyway, Hebrews 11:1-3 again. Back to faith. And by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. One of the things I want my faith to be like, and may sound hokey, but to me it was a pretty decent metaphor. I want my faith to be like a river. Always flowing, always growing, sometimes really smooth. You know, I want my faith to be based on what's needed at that moment. So if I'm dealing with a friend who's really struggling, I want it to be calming for that person. I want it to be easy for them to understand and to see that there's a lot of love through me of Christ for that person and for that situation. There are other times I want it to be swollen and raging. If I'm having a bad day, if things aren't going well, I really want God to shake me and wake me up. Hey, you're going down the wrong road. Turn. This is where you need to turn. This is where you need to put your faith in me, not in the world. Then from there, Matthew 17. Um, 14 through 20. And this is the boy who was healed. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus said to them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said to him, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." This is the verse that sparked the conversation I had during VBS out in the parking lot. And I believe 100% that with faith, if I told the mountain to move, it could be moved. I also believe that every one of us has a mountain that we deal with every day. We all have our inner struggles. We all have issues that we deal with on a daily basis, whether it's addiction or pornography or covetousness or whatever that might be. For a lot of people, that's a bigger obstacle than any mountain you could ever put in front of them. I believe that Jesus spoke the truth here when he was saying you can move a mountain. I also believe that that's just a fantastic metaphor for so many people, that those mountains that are placed in front of us, whatever that mountain might be, that obstacle might be, that through faith in Christ, that mountain can be overcome. And if you believe 100% that you can overcome that addiction, that you can overcome whatever that obstacle is, that Christ will show you the way to do it every time. I'm a person who loves to hike, mountain bike, do all that kind of stuff. And one of the thoughts that I came up with is, all mountains are climbed the same way. And it's all one step at a time. As my faith in Christ grows, it's like that path, right? With each step that I take forward, I overcome that mountain. Each step along my growth through faith, I'm overcoming whatever that personal mountain is. Without faith in Christ, there's no path forward. The path just goes in circles. You can also move a mountain with a shovel. Sometimes it takes a lot of hard work, but it can be done that way too.